All right.
Okay.
We live.
Do you know that our podcast is like our favorite genre? It's my favorite genre.
What do you mean it's our favorite genre?
It's like Bollywood.
Huh?
There's a little bit of singing, a little bit of dancing. I mean, it's quintessential Bollywood.
I mean, I guess.
Just all right, for you. Let's
just
go.
Just for you.
Okay. There's always that one person that will it's my song to you. You never see it coming cause you're blinded from the start. Know that you're that one for me. It's clear for everyone to see. But me. All right, let's start.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen?
I was going to say that.
Okay. Take two.
What is up, everybody? What's up, everyone? Happy February!
What is up?
Happy month of love. We hope that everyone had a great January and that you sprouted and you flourished and you stayed warm. And, you know, February is known as the month of love.
Yes.
And we wanted to do something relationship related for the entire month, which is literally two episodes.
So we'll see what goes.
Yeah. I thought the way to like kind of launch it would be to start by the story of how we met. How the Jupster and the Muckster met.
That's clearly an original song. In case you guys are wondering like where that came from.
Yeah.
So I guess, where do we start?
It all started in the year 2006.
I actually had a feeling you were going to start it just like that. I really did.
And keep in mind, children, we did not have unlimited texting back then.
We didn't. We had the same
service. That is the conditions we lived under.
But we did have the same service provider, which didn't help.
Well, only after 9 p.m.
That's true. Dang it, we're old. Shoot. Okay.
He got out of the plane into Houston. And then he was all like, dang, who that girl?
That's pretty accurate. Okay. We met in August of 2006. I noticed her in August of 2006, day one of school. She did not notice me.
And well, I was 20 minutes late to class.
Three weeks later is when we finally got to actually meet. I think we had basically two mutual friends, right? Because they were
One mutual friend. Shout out to Matt Morton.
Hey, holla. And we were just, you guys were in the middle of a conversation. I came in and you basically
inserted yourself into my conversation.
I did not. I definitely don't do that.
Yeah, he didn't.
You know, good and well, I didn't. That didn't even sound anything close to me.
So now it's September of 2006. There I was talking to Matt about my future aspirations of becoming a singer, songwriter, songbird.
Okay, let's get real. So we were there getting ready
But really, we were talking about music.
Okay, but you weren't talking about your aspirations of being a singer, songwriter, songbird, as you said.
This is a Hollywood adaptation.
Okay, anyways, we are basically, we're getting ready for our class. And the way we met is because we had every single, we pretty much had majority of our classes together because we had the same major. And at the time, I saw her come in day one when school started. And
what were your first impressions of me?
My first impressions was, wow, pretty much, seriously. I thought she was like the most beautiful thing I'd seen. She had this radiant, still does clearly, has this radiant smile. And I remember just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, who was that? I had no idea what your cultural background was, which we'll get into a little later. I just thought you were beautiful. And I was extremely attracted to you immediately. And what she didn't know, though, was at the time is I had made a promise to the Lord of going into my freshman year that I wasn't going to date at all. I was in an unhealthy place myself. And so I made a promise to God. I said, hey, my freshman year, Lord, I will not date. I just need to reset my mind and my heart to be focused on you. And of course, not even 2, maybe 3 weeks later, she walks in. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, seriously, I was legitimately I was upset with the Lord. I was like, I felt like you did this to me on purpose, man. And so I did not say anything about how I felt. at all, because I pretty much was on spiritual probation, as I like to call it.
It's a good thing you didn't say anything, because I literally came to that school to get a piece of paper that said I have a degree, and I was not interested in dating not a single human being.
She wasn't. So needless to say, 3 weeks later, we meet through our mutual friends. We had the same class. And what really led us to actually start talking was we had a project, right?
Immediately, like, I whip my head around and I look at my friend Edwin, and I'm like, help me out. Like, do you want to be my lab partner? And he's like, sorry, I already have one. I'm just like, traitor. Like, really? You didn't even text me and tell me I needed a lab partner. And it just so happens, as I'm dealing with the cold hurt of being stabbed.
Cold hurt, man.
By a friend. Mark walks in front of me. And I go, hey, you got a lab partner? Just like that.
Yep, it is just like that. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, no. And then you said,
you want to be mine?
And without hesitation, it's like, in the back of my mind, I was like, is this a trick question? And else I was like, yeah. I thought I played it cool. So yeah, we exchanged info.
Yeah, we exchanged info. And almost immediately, we became friends, and like, to the point, anyone who meets Mark, like, even to this day, I think you know and feel this. There's like this sense of safety that you feel when you're with him. And I've never really had that before, where I meet someone and I'm just all like, man, there's just something about this guy that's different. And now here I am 16, 17 years later, like, I realized it's like there was this sense of I felt extremely safe with him and around him. And the more I hung out with him, I was just all like, man, like, I love that he just likes me for me, and I don't have to be anyone but me when I'm around him. So every moment that we got, we always hung out. And before you knew it, everyone in the department was all like, oh, that's Juby's best friend. They both like breathe the same air. Like, whatever air Mark lets out, Juby breathes. And I'm just like, okay, cool.
Here's the true test of it. So, yeah, it's probably January then, or February of 2007. And I remember Tiari, my roommate, and Brandon, a couple of dudes that I was rooming with in the same hallway, they were asking me for a ride. And I got, like, asked 3 times back-to-back within probably an hour time frame. And so this joke kind of started where they're like, nah, man, it's like, you can't get a ride from Mark. They're like, why not? I was like, because this girl got it. And TR was like, oh, the Jeepster got it. and then like the next 20 minutes later, you know, Brandon goes, hey, Mark, can I get a ride? I was like, sorry, man. I said, I'm letting someone borrow it. And then TR was like, yeah, I was like, his girl's borrowing it. Brandon's like, oh, Juby Jube got it. And so this became
hate
like
them.
This, right?
Hate them.
And I was like, she's not my girl. I was like, okay, Mark, you can keep saying that.
Like, legit, when I say that if there could be any more of a platonic relationship, like, it would have been ours. You know, we were genuinely good friends. And I love that. I love that we were friends and got to know each other in that capacity. And almost immediately, like, became best friends. I remember I was having a really rough day in the month of November. At the time, an ex-coworker had committed suicide, and it was just a couple of things just lined up that week, and it just felt like the, you know, weight of the world was on my shoulder. And like, Mark just did something really sweet. Like, he just, like, without even asking, and I wish I remember what it was, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't even have to ask this guy, and he just took care of it. I was just so thankful. And I remember feeling like, man, this is my best friend. And which kind of scared me a little bit, because I've never like given anyone the best friend title after like, you know, knowing them for a couple of months. So he was just always, you know, that friend that was always there. And we continue our friendship, and we have our own like date days as friends. Like, mm-hmm. We would say like, oh, on Friday we're gonna study, but really we go to the mall and get cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory, coffee from Starbucks, and people watch and talk about life. So yeah, that was us studying on a Friday.
Yeah, well, I know for me, what I found, obviously I was clearly physically attracted to you first, but the more we started hanging out, you were so certain, not just of what you wanted, but you were willing to work for it. And so for me, you know, something, and you know this about me, but something, you know, growing up in my family, we don't really use the word like deserved, you know, and something my dad taught me growing up is like, Mark, the world doesn't owe you anything. You can earn it.
Yeah.
You can work hard for it. And that's something I always admired about you. You literally put yourself through college, between working full time, being in school full time, driving back and forth. By the way, this is in Houston, fam. All right. The fourth largest city in the nation, just for context. And some of y'all who live in Houston, who have visited Houston, know exactly what I'm talking about. Right. So you didn't make excuses. And I don't remember hearing you complain one time. I mean, of course, like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. Like, you would verbally process out loud. But I remember just thinking to myself, like, man, this is someone who's intelligent, knows exactly what she wants, and knows what she needs to do to get there.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think I'm just finding this out right now.
Well, that was the thing that attracted to me even more than, of course, you know, obviously your growth in the Lord. And I know August of 2006 going into the fall of 2007, I know that was kind of like your first year recommitting your life to the Lord.
I was going to say, like, in November, once, like,
of 06?
06, yeah. In November of 06, I just remember, like, so there was always been this thirst to know God. And just the, like, there's that hole that I've always tried to fill up with other things and do other things. And I remember, like, I would be just, I mean, I would go out to party and then come home and just go to bed thinking, man, there has to be more to life than what I'm doing right now. And there has to be more to life. So there was always, like, this thirst to know God. And I've tried to carry my own life for the longest time. And I remember that in November, like, I feel like God, in his graciousness, like, he set forth the motion by moving me to Houston that August. And I met the most amazing couple that, like, took me in and taught me about God and, like, showed me what ministry was all about. And even then, I still wanted somewhat of a little bit of control over my life. And then, like, everything that happened in November, I just remember, like, going home one day and just, like, throwing myself on the bed. And I'm just like, God, I'm done. Like, I am done trying to be in control of my own life. Like, I'm giving it to you. And, like, I feel like on top of the friendship that we gained, like, that was the biggest thing I gained our freshman year was my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Like, it sets forth such a motion to where we are right now.
Well, and then you and I had a lot of conversations about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even just so much this is what we're learning from, you know, a service that we went to, but we would just have a lot of our conversations surrounded either around or, you know, our major, which was, for those who don't know, it was aviation science management. So that's what our background is in. So it's surrounded around that just because we had such a desire, you know, and passion for it, but it also surrounded around, you know, fashion because we love shopping together.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also the other piece of, you know, the Lord, but I felt like every conversation we had throughout our entire throughout our entire friendship has always been organic.
Yes.
I never felt like I had to hunt or fish for something to talk about with you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
From
17 years later.
Yeah, exactly. So I just said that was kind of the gateway, I guess you could say, of freshman year.
Yeah.
So April of 2007, freshman year is starting to come to an end.
And he's all like, I'm about to get off probation.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm all like, psych.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, for me personally, even though I rededicated my life to Christ, there was still a lot of brokenness in me. Things that I didn't know was there, things I just didn't deal with because I've never been good with dealing with my own trauma. I'd rather walk around it than walk through it. So there was just a lot of brokenness in me that I didn't realize I had. And then I ended up meeting someone whom to this day that I dearly love. And we started dating. And we were both two broken people. We didn't know who we were and we didn't know what we wanted. And I can say that now with confidence because he is like a good acquaintance of ours, mm-hmm. and we have good conversation. He's actually a supporter of our podcast, right? Like, I remember when we first broke up, I'm just like, I don't ever want to hear from him. Like, you know, and like, I'm just so glad, like, he's in a place where he's gotten healthy and I'm in a place where I've gotten healthy. So,
and I want to add to that, what I appreciate about him, like in his growth as well, is he reached out to both of us. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, years down the line. But it's a testament to not just growth for him as well as you. And I'm reminded, you said how as you started your walk with the Lord again, just because you say yes to Jesus, it doesn't necessarily mean whatever brokenness or baggage you have, it's immediately going to be gone.
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes it does. You hear those stories where people said, man, I gave my life to Jesus, and on this day, the temptation was forever gone. And if so, man, praise the Lord. Like, we celebrate that.
Yeah.
We also realize that deliverance, though it can be a one-time event, it also, more times than not, is actually a journey.
It's a walk.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. And so I want to commend both of you guys, mm-hmm. honestly, him as well as you. And we've had great conversations since then.
Yeah.
And so it's actually very redemptive.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
the backside of it. Like, of course, we didn't know that at the time.
Right.
So you guys started that April of 07.
So April of 07, I met my ex-boyfriend. And like I said, we were just two people who were lost in trying to find meaning within each other. And we started dating. And for the most part, it was good. And we've had lots of rocky places. And, you know, I think he will sit next to me to this day if I could get him down here. He would be like, yeah, we had a lot of rocky, rough patches and having to work through values and what matters to us. And I think in that relationship, I just really learned like some of my weaknesses and some of the things where I was just like, man, I didn't think I would compromise in this area of my life, or like, I didn't realize I held this value. And so, you know, we were together for a year, you know, and before it just hit a point of just being like, we can't keep doing this. You know, we can't keep doing this. We were both not great for each other at the time. But at the time, as I saw it, I'm perfect and he's the one who needed work. And I never took time to look at the areas where what brokenness caused you to act that way? Mm-hmm. What brokenness made you say yes to certain conditions and not walk away? So from sophomore year, so end of freshman year, going into junior year, we were together.
So like she said, April of 07, I'm like, okay, if the year is ending, maybe I can say something. And so by April, they're already dating. And so, of course, I'm disappointed. But at the same time, I'm one of those people where it's actually very easy for me to detach and let go when someone I'm attracted to or I'm interested in is already in a relationship. And I don't know if it's just because for me, it's like, hey, they're taken / spoken for. I mean, I know you guys weren't married or anything, but it's very easy for me to respect not just your decision, but also the man. And so that's just always been me, even in high school. If there's someone I was ever crushing on and I hear their relationship, it's actually very easy for me to just drop it. And so I did. And so that became, in my mind, she was truly platonic all throughout pretty much the rest of 07. Mm-hmm. And then going into 2008, pretty much all sophomore year. But during that same time, while she's dating, I was talking with someone, and though it didn't become official, all that being said, I kind of wasn't thinking about it anymore the sophomore year. And same thing, we're great friends now too, as well to this day.
Right after we were done with classes, like a few days later, he and I ended our relationship, which pretty much leads into our junior year.
Mm-hmm. Second half.
Yeah. And that year, Mark was turning 21. And I was like,
oh man. Yeah, go ahead. I ain't gonna lie, I forgot about this.
It's because I'm the greatest friend in the whole wide world. How can you forget the nicest thing I've ever done for you?
No, I remember, I forgot that this took place in the same year, which is, all the more reason to the mass of what's going to happen. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, 2009, we knew Mark was turning 21. We were like, oh, party. So I decided we're going to just throw him a massive party. And that is what I did. But not only did I throw him a birthday party, I decided...
Surprise one at that.
Yeah, a surprise party. I decided I'm going to have his parents fly out from California and surprise him.
Remind you, we are in Houston, Texas. And this woman gets both my parents to fly from San Francisco to Houston, Texas, for context, okay?
Slight work, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm just like, hey, like, I want to take you out for dinner for your birthday. And he, okay, so you thought I was trying to tell you at the time that I may have feelings for you.
No, not yet.
Because you gave me flowers that night. They were beautiful. You gave me some lilies because my car smelled exquisite.
Yeah. I don't think I was willing to tell you yet. I didn't know. So let me give you my assumption, okay?
Okay.
My assumption was at this point, I was wondering if you were into me at this point. And not so much because I was wondering before. So April 24th is my birthday, for context. So April 24th of 09 is you're about to take me out. I'm just thinking like, oh, I'm starting to feel what I felt again, basically, 2 years ago.
Yeah. We're both single as a Pringle.
Yes.
Which I never understood, because Pringles aren't single.
I've actually never even heard that quote until you just said it right now. Okay. So, good to know. So she's taking me out, and I'm starting to feel it again, but my thing is, I don't know if she's feeling the same way. That's where I'm at. So then she throws me the surprise party. Obviously, I see everybody, and then mom and dad come walking into the restaurant. And I'm just like, what the heck is happening
right
now?
She's in love with me.
And so I'm like talking with, like, I remember I was talking with Ronnie about it. Shout out to Ronnie Manansala. I was talking to James Brown about it. And I remember just thinking, like, I don't know if, like, she's feeling. They're like, dude, I don't know any other, like, guy that has a girlfriend that's all putana that throws a surprise party and gets their parents to fly out.
Yikes, you guys missed that one.
And I was like, and I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, I don't either, but I don't know if this is the exception to the rule, or maybe she's just that real cool chick. So
that is me, the real cool chick.
So that's where I was at.
So for me, from my perspective, even though I was single, and I have been single now for months, there was still pieces of me that was just hurt from the previous relationship, right? It's, you know, I was with this person for a really long time, and we went through a lot together. Mm-hmm. And as much as I learned, I also hurt, you know? So I'm back to my freshman mindset of, like, I'm legitimately here to get a degree. Like, I am not even thinking about dating. I let that kind of get in the way, and my grades suffered our sophomore year. Like, my GPA went from, like, a 3.8 to, like, a 3.2, so I had to, like, bounce it back up.
Suffered, air quotes.
For me, that's great suffrage.
Yeah, you got an Asian background, so. Yeah.
Like, seriously, I had to bring my GPA back up to a 3.8, like, and that's what I pretty much did that time frame when, you know, after we broke up. So a couple of weeks after the dinner, like maybe 2 weeks after, I was supposed to meet Mark to study for our finals, but as I'm pulling up to his apartment, he text messages me and he's like, hey, can you meet me at Starbucks? And I was just like, okay, yeah, sure. So I drive to Starbucks, I meet Mark there, and I'm just all like, how does it feel like this is about to be a serious conversation? Like, I remember thinking that, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm reading into it. And he pretty much sat me down, and he confessed his feelings for me, which did catch me off guard, honestly. Like, there were moments I wondered, but it still caught me off guard because, again, he's one of the few people who've just genuinely just, like, you know, we're friends, you know, and that didn't take away him, you know, saying it didn't take away from our friendship, but it really caught me off guard. And I just remember thinking, man, I love this man so much and I respect him so much that I can't let him be my rebound. And of course, I didn't have the words for that then. And I just remember telling you, like, hey, I'm not ready to date. I don't think I should date. And you're like, okay, all right, that sounds like a plan. And we didn't study. We just kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to go our separate ways.
Did we?
I think we went our separate ways.
I don't remember. So.
Yeah.
After.
I don't remember us studying. Because that was not nice Starbucks to be.
So now this is basically May of 09.
May of 09.
Yeah.
And then summer break is about to come up. And I notice like Mark is not as cool with me as he was. And one day we went somewhere because I remember being in his car and he was dropping me off at his apartment so I can get him back in my car and leave. And he pretty much sat there and told me that we can't be friends anymore.
You're not wrong. That's not the word I use.
He broke up with me.
That's not the word I use.
My friend broke up with me. You broke my little heart.
I did not say we couldn't be friends anymore.
My tiny, precious little heart.
So what I said was...
It was broken.
We can't do the same things that we used to do because that you... What people need to also understand is that we did everything together. And when I say everything, guys, I'm talking we did.
We were in the gym together.
Yep.
We went grocery shopping together.
Yep.
We went clothes shopping together.
Yep.
We went to church together.
Yep.
We went to classes together. We did homework
together.
We were lab partners. So.
I mean, almost everything you can think of, like ladies, that you do with your homegirls and fellas, you do with your homeboys. Like, that's what we did with one another.
Yeah.
And so for me.
Like 6 days out of the week, I saw Mark.
Literally.
Yeah.
Truly. And so for me to, granted, when I look back on it.
Yeah, tell me how sorry you are.
I am sorry. I said that. I have apologized profusely multiple occasions. See? So hold
my
it.
Heart.
Listen, ladies, don't be historical. I didn't say hysterical. Historical. So I do wish I went about it differently. But where what was hard for me is when she said that she just wanted to be friends. I did not know how to do that coming out of the context of everything we like. And the thing I did, I remember sharing this with you. Everything that we do, I told her, I said, I don't do that with anyone else to include my best guy friends.
That sounds like a personal problem to me.
Oh, see, exactly. And because it was my personal problem, I had to create distance. And part of it was this. I don't know if I would have said that at the time. But when I did confess my feelings for you, when I look back on it, I'm pretty sure that I loved you at the time.
Stop! So, oh my gosh, you're so cute.
Okay. All right, that's enough.
Seriously.
And so, for me to
protect
respect your wishes, as well as to protect my heart, I had to create distance. I do regret. The how. I don't regret the intent behind it, and because I needed that. I needed that to not just respect your decision, but I needed that to guard my own heart.
I swear, this is like a Hollywood movie now.
Well, yeah, the key word is now. This is 3 years in the making. So at the time it was very hard to get, and I'll be honest, I think I knew before that you weren't going to feel the same way, but there was just a huge part of me that was hoping, like, nah, I'm willing to be wrong here. And to be wrong was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
So I need to say, summer of 09 was very hard.
It was.
For
so
our friendship.
He left, like, literally, he breaks my heart. Okay, you would have thought he was breaking up with me because I still, that it's one of those core memories.
I did that at the end when I came back going into senior year.
No.
Okay.
No. Like, it was burned in me, this memory of me sitting on the passenger side of his car, him on the driver's side. And he's telling me this, and he's just like, Juby, I just can't hang out with you like we used to. I need to get over you. And my 21-year-old mind just wasn't understanding that. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we're friends. We're best friends. Like, you don't need to get over me. You just need to be friends with me. And I didn't understand it. As he's saying it, like, literally, like, buckets of tears are just coming down. And I'm just, I literally looked at him and I said, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Like it legit felt like the biggest breakup of my life. And it wasn't even a romantic relationship. Like, now I laugh at that girl. Like, I know the story now. It's like, I understand why he needed space, but I didn't understand it then. And I was like, I need you in my life. You were like one of the few things in my life that felt normal. So, like, it just felt like that part was just being ripped away. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is never going to be the same. You know, and then I become all dramatic.
And it wasn't for a few months.
It wasn't. He left like a few days after, and we tried to pretend to be normal, you know, around each other till he left. Mm-hmm. He went back to Cali for the summer. Then he had
Papa passed away.
Your grandfather passed away.
I had to go to summer camp for ROTC.
Yep, he did that. And like, I just noticed his communication was very little throughout the entire process of summer. And I was just like,
I think the straw that broke the camel's back for you was with the car accident. Like, mm-hmm. It's coming back.
Yep. And so that year I was getting ready to go on my very first mission trip. Oh my gosh. Best thing that ever happened to me. Like, I've never cried so hard in the top of a mountain like I did in the mountains of Bolivia. But so I was getting ready to leave for my missions, and I noticed that he was being kind of cold towards me. So I was like, all right, I'll return the favor. I'll be cold towards you too.
You're gonna be cold? I'm gonna be colder. You're gonna be mean? I'm gonna be meaner.
That's right.
You ignore me? I'm ignoring you more.
I just thought, like, you think you started this game? I'm gonna end this game. So yeah, so I think the, like he said, the straw that broke the camel's back was when he came back. So him and his sister drove back from California to Texas, because at the time Kayla was also attending college in Texas, right outside of Houston. And they got into a really bad car accident. Like, they went across four lanes, like, spinning car accident. And I found out about it through Facebook.
At least it wasn't MySpace.
I don't think neither of us had a MySpace account at that time. When I tell you, every core of my being was hurt that I found out that my best friend was in a terrible car accident through Facebook notes. Not even a status update. It was Facebook notes.
I totally forgot about that feature. Oh, man.
Oh, you make me so angry. Dang. Oh, just thinking about that makes me so angry.
Oh, goodness.
So once I found out he was fine, I was all like, okay, so that's how you want to be. Great.
Which is funny. That wasn't even going in my head. Literally, I was just.
No, it was. He was trying to get back at me.
No, it definitely wasn't. I was just like, okay, it happened. Mom and dad knew. And that was. So that's the funny thing, is like, that wasn't even in my mindset. I was just. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, cool. So I just kept myself busy. I worked multiple jobs. I went to class, and anytime he asked me, like, do you want to hang out? I'm just like, sorry, I got job number two, job number three, job number one to go to. Like, I was just always busy. At the time, there was someone else who was interested in me, and I was like, maybe. And then I found out through the vineyards that he was talking to someone. He didn't tell me that he was talking to someone. So you know what I did? If you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to tell you. Take that.
So that was all of the
from like August to December.
Yeah, so the fall semester of our senior year, which was like a year and a half basically. So yeah, so all that basically goes by. Now we're in January of 2010.
Yeah.
I don't know, for some reason that, you know, from basically May of 2009, or I guess you could say June, that whole 6 months of the last 6 months of 2009, after that, January 2010 just kind of felt like, hey, fresh start. We're in two different places now, in a better way. I felt like I was in a better spot.
And I think you kind of called me out a little bit. I'm trying to think, because
I remember
we were walking down the Tiger Walk, and you told me, because I was like, I legit was working like 2 to 3 jobs, mm-hmm. and you were like, do you realize that we have not hung out not once since school has started?
Okay, I do remember that.
Yeah, and I just remember feeling like, oh, that, like, at that point I was over my pettiness, you know? I was.
Oh, man.
I was all like, all right, I guess we can be friends again.
Oh,
so, I actually think what I did that day was I canceled everything on my calendar.
I do remember that.
Because I had a pretty full calendar, and I canceled everything on my calendar that day. That day. My God, speaking so hard. And,
and we just hung out.
We hung out. Yeah. Like, and nothing's changed.
And it felt like normal
felt
for the first
so
time in 6 months.
Normal.
Yeah.
And we were laughing and like.
And I didn't have like feelings weren't coming back or anything like that. I was just like, man, this is my homie again. I feel like I got my best friend back. You probably felt the same way
yeah.
in that moment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. January/February of 2010 just felt like the clean slate, like coming out of the ugly of the past 6 months, 2009. So we started hanging out again
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
he better be glad that I turned him down in 2009. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Because I went back into a relationship with my ex.
That's exactly what happened. As you said, summer of 2010.
Right before.
It was more of, yeah, because I remember we were studying for finals.
Yeah. Like around March.
March
we started talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We started talking again in March.
I only remember because we were studying.
I'm just thankful that I didn't say yes to you.
Okay, so
what happened was I got back with my ex and we tried that, you know, we tried to make it work again. And I think for both of us, we were exactly what we needed for each other. But like 2 years ago, like the version of him in 2010 was what I needed in 2008 when we were together. And the version of me is probably what he needed in 2008 as well. So we talked for a few months and just realized that it wasn't going to work. We just had a moment. We just realized it wasn't going to work. And I'm just so thankful for that time of getting back in touch with him, because that really just helped me close out a chapter in my life that I didn't realize that I had left unread. It was just like to be continued, but I never realized I put it to be continued with that. And I'm just glad it kind of came back around. It took a really long time and it was kind of messy how it happened, you know, but I'm just glad it happened the way it did. And we were both, I think, able to put a closure on that chapter.
Mm-hmm. That summer.
And
for those of you guys wondering, I was not having feelings for her at that moment. For me, it was more of, I just need not only you to be good, I also want him to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my concern was okay, did we learn anything from the first time? And it's I think you taught me this. Sometimes it's not even so much that, yes, there's a time where we carry brokenness and baggage, and when two people come together, that's going to be hardship, unnecessary hardship on top of what it already needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other times too where it's not so much that one person is better or less than the other. Sometimes, like you said, whether it's the values or just who they are as the individual is not good for that person and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and essentially that's what he, like when he said, what did I tell you, Jimmy? He just wants to be told he was right. That's what he told me.
Well, again, my biggest thing was I didn't want to see you get hurt, but I also didn't want to see him get hurt.
Yeah. We were cooking dinner one night after studying, mm-hmm. I'm sure, because I was broke. Even though I was working all those jobs, I was still broke, and I like used up his pantry.
Hey, that's what friends are for.
But genuinely, I would just go over to his house because I knew I was going to get a meal. But when we were cooking dinner, he just said, I don't think it's going to work, and I just want you to know, not if, but when this does break up, like, I'll still be there to help you pick up the pieces. But I just want you to know, I don't think you guys are good for each other, you know, both like looking out for him and I, you know. So I remember him telling me that, because what made me like what it's ingrained in me, because that same night it was a glass lid. And I wonder if this was providential or prophetic or some other P word.
Okay.
But when we were cooking, the lid that you put on, as you were saying it, it just kind of cracked, like the glass cracked.
This is the first time hearing this. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, like the pot set that we were using,
yeah,
like it just cracked.
Wow.
And I remember you telling me like, hey, I'm not gonna tell you I told you so in a few months, but I do want you to know that I'll be there when this does fall apart again.
And here's why I brought this up. Like, this wasn't like a reverse psychology thing. It really wasn't. Like, it was... No, for real. It was really like, man, these are... One, of course, because I know you the most. I really cared about you as a person and as my friend. But I also care, like... And you know this, too, about me. Anytime I hear about, you know, friendships that break up, or when I hear about marriages that end in divorce, and this is part of my strengths finder thing, one of my strengths is harmony. And so it really grieves me just individually when I hear about breakups, regardless if it's from a marriage standpoint, even to a friendship standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so really my heart behind that was I wanted what was going to be healthy and right for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just coming to this place where I'm good with myself.
Yeah.
That's why I say, like, it wasn't even about what I can get with you. That wasn't a thought for me at that moment. Just because, again, the last 6 months of 09 was so hard. And like you said, I was talking with someone else, and my mindset was like, man, am I good with me? And now that I've been finding more health in who I was kind of in that place where I want other people to experience that same thing.
Yeah. And I think that's where it shows. And even to this day, as a grown adult now, this is where it grieves me that there is so many people in relationship and in places that they do not need to be because of the comfort of a thought, of an idea of being in a relationship. Mm. There's so many people who are. And like, again, like, I have so much respect for my ex, you know, but we were both just two broken people trying to find ways to fill each other's brokenness.
Mm.
And it just wasn't working. You know, we had to do the individual work, but neither of us did.
Mm.
We were trying to make it work with each other, and that was not the answer. And at the time, I thought I knew the answer, but that wasn't the answer. And I am so very glad that I went through that season of us getting back together and just realizing, like, and I remember telling you once we did break up, I'm just like, man, he's a great guy. He's just not my great guy.
I do remember that.
You know, yep. And he's going to be great for someone else, but us for each other, it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, that summer, I had to really deal with it. And take it before the Lord. And like, I've had chains break off my life that summer because I decided to deal with it.
Mm.
And then I remember like, oh, okay. Like, it was almost all like the things that were weighing me down no longer even existed.
Mm.
Fast forward to our last semester of college.
Yeah, because our program was a 4.5 year program.
Yeah.
For context.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we're in August now of 2010. Yeah.
So he finds out he's going to be going to Alaska, which I already knew that it was going to be his last year in Houston. And we just made a deal. We're like, hey, whatever time we have, we're just going to spend it with each other.
And by the way, the reason why I'm going to Alaska is because I was ROTC cadet and I got accepted for active duty. So Alaska was my first duty station.
What a joy.
That's a whole nother story in itself.
Yeah. But we knew he was going to leave. Even before I knew it was Alaska, I knew he was going to leave. So mm-hmm. We just made a pact that semester, like, hey, whatever spare time we have, we're just going to spend it with each other. Because we genuinely did not know when we were going to see each other after graduation. Yeah. Like, the idea was, we're going to graduate. We're just going to go on with our separate lives. We always knew we'd be a part of each other's life. We just didn't think, like, we didn't know to what extent.
Right.
And like, he's going to get a wife and, you know, like, then she's going to become the priority. He's going to have a family. So we're like, let's make the best of our last semester. And that's exactly what we did. Every free moment we had, we would go out on adventures. We would go out to the zoo. We'd go to, you know, the mall, like wherever we could, you know, because we were still broke college students. So we had to get all the free things. And that's what we did, you know. Every moment that we got, we hung out with each other. No expectations of each other, other than friendship. And then October of that year, Mark went to D.C. And I remember having a moment. I was driving around, and I just had a moment where I was like, God, I've always just been in relationship with people where I am trying to supplement them or they're trying to supplement me. And then I kind of thought about Mark and I was like, man, he's kind of like the whole like package. Like, ideally, if I had my life, okay, stop feeling yourself.
I was just saying, it's a pretty cool moment.
But if I had my life together and if healing had taken place in my life, I remember thinking like, man, Mark is like really like the guy I should be dating. And for whatever reason, I decided I was going to text him this. And my text to him while he was in DC was, maybe one day I'll get my life together and just marry you. I wasn't saying I want to marry you. I was just saying,
she didn't know. Is that, that has messed me up. This was me. What does this mean? What does this mean? And I'm with mom and dad.
Oh yeah.
And I'm talking about mom and dad. They're looking at me like, what? Why are you like overwhelmed right now? Yeah. And I show them the text, and I'm like, is this just like a casual statement? And my mom's like, no, she's finally realizing what a great catch you are. And I go,
thanks, Mama B.
Like, no, I'm this is a trap. This is a trap. I'm not buying that. But that text was the first moment where this is where my mind started kind of
wondering and thinking and wondering.
So this is where my mind started going again. But yeah, as you said, we started hanging out a lot more. November comes into play too. And shout out to Cousin Robin. She came to visit me as well for Thanksgiving weekend.
That's the Thanksgiving you danced with Twitch.
It was.
It makes me so sad.
I know. Likewise. Yeah. So I did have the privilege of being able to meet and dance with Twitch. There was a Houston Thanksgiving Day parade. So I got to be a part of that. And Robin came to fly out and spend time with us. And this was her first time meeting Juby. And for context, my sister, Kayla, and my cousin, Robin, they have always been the two hardest women in my life to like.
Impress.
Correct. 100%. And so after she met Juby and came over for Thanksgiving dinner with her, with Pastor Johnson, and, you know, and Lady Gill and all that, we get in the car and Robin's like, so what's up with you and Juby? I'm like, nothing. She goes, okay, let me ask this again. What's going on with you? I'm like, nothing's going on with me and Juby. She goes, no. I was like, you guys have something. Like, it's like, there's a thing there. And I'm like, Robin, like, we've been talking about this for years. She's like, exactly. Like, my whole family at this point knows Juby. I mean, this is literally almost 4.5 years later.
Yeah.
Robin, like, from the get-go was Team Juby, yeah, all the way, which I'm like, okay, that's great, but she kind of has to be Team Mark too, like, in order for this whole thing to work.
Yeah.
And so, I need to say, fast forward to graduation, mm-hmm, December of 2010. Commissioned December 10th, mm-hmm, and then graduation was December 11th, and mm-hmm, we went out, and you were flirting with me.
I was being extremely friendly, yes.
Like, no, those were not your words. She was being extremely flirtatious with me. I'm like, oh, it took 4.5 years, but, you know, I'll take it, a little something. And now, of course, I'm wondering at this point, I'm like, okay, is this really, really it? I don't say anything. So I go back home, of course. She goes back to Dallas or Fort Worth. And I go back to San Francisco, and we're still talking, you know, a lot on the phone, texting and everything. So what I decided to do is I was talking Buddy. My man, Buddy. Shout out to you, bro. Because he came to visit me. Mm-hmm. And we took a long walk, literally, on the Golden Gate Bridge. And I'm, like, spilling my guts to Buddy about your girl. And he's like, bro, you have to tell her. I'm like, no. I'm like, freshman year, junior year, I don't have another one in me, man. Like, this is it. He goes, man.
But freshman,
like,
you weren't even saying it.
I didn't, but you got to keep in mind, this is stuff that is, like, come back. And now this is, like, my third time for me in 4.5 years. And so I'm like, I don't have another rejection in me. I just don't. And so he's like, what if you just made it painfully obvious? And so, so needless to say, I did iMovie style. Shout out to Apple. Thank you, iMovie. I gathered I gathered, like, every video shot, pictures. What was it, like, 40?
So essentially, I get, like, a text or a call from Mark before Christmas, like the day before Christmas, and he's like, hey, your gift is on the way. It's going to be there, like, around 7 a.m. on Christmas morning. But call me before you open it. And I'm like, okay, so my 7 a.m. is your 5 a.m., but okay, cool. So hoping that I wouldn't wake him up, like, literally, like, clockwork, 7 a.m., FedEx, ding dong, and I'm, like, running to the front door so my family doesn't wake up. And I pick it up, and it's, like, a pretty sizable gift. And I was like, oh, what did he send me?
Like a big-sized envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before I open it, I shoot him a text, and I was like, hey, your gift just arrived. And immediately he FaceTimes me, and I was like, oh, you're up. Okay, cool. So he's like, all right, you can go ahead and open it. So I open it, and it's like this big old card.
So now it's an obnoxious size card.
It's like life size, almost bigger than me. A good chew. No, just playing. So it's like literally probably the size of my torso, honestly. And it was like plastered with pictures of us from like freshman year to the time we graduated. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then like at the bottom, there was like a little DVD stuck to it. And he was like, watch this. And I was like, okay, great. So pop it into my little Pink Dell laptop. Shout out to Pink Dell.
That thing was so heavy.
It was
so thick.
Oh, that makes sense why my shoulders hurt
probably
now. But yeah, it pop it in and I'm watching it. It's a 45-minute home video of all of our memories from freshman year all the way till he's so proud of this. Till the time we graduated.
I'm very proud of it.
I mean, just everything. And I just had a moment where, as I'm watching it, it occurred to me, because you know how you can see something or you can smell something and it can take you back to a moment in time. And I remember certain clips and certain pictures he took of me. And I remember the heartache I was facing at that time, or how unsure I was about where I was headed in life, or just, you know, or maybe it was just a great day and we were just having fun as friends. But it was all captured in this 45-minute home video. And I was like, wow, this guy has literally been there by my side every step of the way. Every step of the way from, like, the beginning of the story to now. And I'm like,
mission accomplished.
And I think for me at that time, it really made sense what everyone else saw. So, like, I know jokingly in the beginning I said, like, you know, I'm blinded from this side, everyone else sees it but me. And it was true. Like, it felt like everyone else called it but me. And all of our professors would be like, those two are going to get married one day. Or, like, you know, they're just so attached at the hip. Like, they're just going to be together. And I was bent on proving all of them wrong. And I was like, I'm going to show you that a guy and a girl can be as close as we are and not ever marry each other, which I still think is true. But for us, it worked out in this way, which really, like, spun me out of control, honestly, realizing, like, there's a potential there, because if it didn't work out, I was losing on a 4.5 years worth of friendship. And I don't know if I wanted to do that. Like, I was not willing to go all in and lose a friendship at the cost of potentially finding out if there's a relationship here. few weeks go by, I shoot him a text, and I was like, hey, we both hate Valentine's Day, but it is your last Valentine's Day here in Texas, and do you want to be my Valentine? I wasn't trying. Again, he thinks I was asking him out of a date.
You were.
I wasn't.
You didn't know it at the time.
Okay,
all right.
Fine. Whatever.
She's asking out.
He thinks I was asking him out, but I was not. Okay. Anyways, he says yes the week before Valentine's Day. In Texas fashion, we had an ice storm that came through and everything shut down. So he was in San Antonio at the time. I was in Houston at the time. And I ended up getting sick that weekend. So he decides he's going to drive all the way from San Antonio because his classes got canceled, drive to Houston and surprise me with medicine and soup and ice cream and all the good stuff.
All the things.
All the things. And so, yeah, that was the weekend before Valentine's Day. And we stayed up till about 4 o'clock that morning, mm-hmm. just chatting. There's actually a picture of that we took that night.
Yep.
And we just stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning and we just talked. And that moment, I just kind of told him all my fears. And it's like, I do see potential here, but I am more scared of losing you as a friend than anything. And he was like, okay, well, we'll never know till we try it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what we did. We tried.
So
and
the Valentine's Day of 2011 was our first date.
Yeah, the next weekend, he and I went out on our first date. Yeah. It officially became a date, even though I didn't ask him out on a date. It ended up becoming a date.
Sure, you can believe that. So, but yeah, that was our first date. And then May 1st, we pretty much made it official.
Of 2011, yeah.
Yeah, of 2011. And what here is where this really solidified it for me. My report date to my duty station was April 20th of 2011. I meet my commander on the 26th. He said, welcome, you're deploying. And my whole world just shattered in my mind. And because here I am, I just graduated college. I just finished officer school. And the only thing I can think of is I'm either going to die or I'm going to get somebody killed. And especially with the responsibility they give you so quickly. But the other part, too, was at this point, we hadn't made it official. And so it was, is she in this? And that was the reason why I wasn't even thinking about a relationship my last semester. It was, I knew that I wanted to be married. And I knew whoever that I wanted to marry had to be supportive of the military lifestyle. And so sure enough, I tell Juby that, hey, I'm deploying, I'm heading out. She took it better than I did. And she said, I'll be right here. I'm here for you. Go do what you got to do. And so we made it official like the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so needless to say, that whole between Afghanistan and Alaska, that whole 3 years, we were long distance. We spent 3 months of it total together.
Yeah, anytime one of us got a 3-day weekend, yep. or a 4-day weekend, we would just catch a flight to mm-hmm. either Alaska or he'll come to Texas. It was easier for me to go to Alaska than it was for him to get time off. But yeah, I would just go. We would meet, have a good time, and then I would come back to Texas or he would go back to Alaska or we would meet somewhere halfway and go back to our respective homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is it.
Well, I proposed to you December
2013.
Yep, December 2013, yeah. Christmas Eve, in front of Union Square's, aka San Francisco's Christmas tree. So did that Christmas Eve, and got married in November 21st.
2014.
Yeah, 2014.
Yep.
So we've been married officially 8 years as of 3 months ago. We've known each other 16 going on 17.
Mm-hmm.
September. Been
I know people think we dated that whole time. They had no idea all that mess happened in between.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because when we tell people, like, we've known each other for 17 years, but we've only been married 8, they're like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, no, we didn't date that whole time.
Yeah, so best friends for 4.5. Dated slash engaged for 3.5, and then married the 8.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For real, we would love to do a part 2, just answering any of you guys' questions. So please post any questions or thoughts in the comments below, or you can hit us up on Instagram at Mark K. Benton 2 or at Juby, not Judy. And you can also send us a voicemail to our website, which is markkbenton2.com. I need to change that now that you're full-time up on this show. People are probably wondering, why is it just his name?
Because he's vain.
Wow. Okay. So, but for real, if you guys got any questions, we're going to do a part two. It's going to be answering your questions, whether it's on singleness, relationships, marriage. We want to hear from you guys. And we hope that our story encouraged you and blessed you. And, just gave you guys some form of hope, you know, or clarity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love to hear from you guys and rate and review the show. We love you guys' feedback.
Yeah. And guys, if you're walking through a similar season, just continue to walk it out. Don't ever compromise who you are. And honestly, I think the biggest advice I would give anyone is if you've had any sort of trauma relationally, in any way, deal with that, because getting in a relationship is not going to fix it. And don't break other relationship and break other people in the process of trying to heal yourself. So just deal with yourself first. So yeah. I really hope that you're able to surrender whatever it is to God. Know that whatever he has in store is so much better. Like, our story is way better than what I could have picked for myself. Honestly, like the way God wrote it, It's truly the best story, and it works for us, but we're not the formula.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this made you laugh, and it made you kind of get to know us on a different level, but we're not the formula.
Yeah.
So keep surrendering to God. Love you guys so much.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching. We hope you enjoyed this video. If you like this, be sure to check out some of our other stuff on this page or check out our podcast on Apple and Spotify. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single thing. See you there.